Okay, today it's a wonderful. I've had a very bad few days. I had an eye infection and meniscus, and my hand hasn't yet recovered from the fall. And I replenish Shalom, and today turned into a beautiful day. Right? And I have to thank the Mashgiach on Coke. And so it's Drake's, it's the whole company you're in charge of?
No, they have one plant in Collegeville, Tennessee.
I see.
Go to that plant.
That's the plant. So I just got the yodels that I made a Shechianu. It's over 53 years that...
Next time I can bring you ringdings and...
Oh, my gosh. Okay. We're going up to heaven. All right. Anyway, so I'm now inspired to forget about all... The Baruch Hashem, my eyes are better, and the doctors are good. And I had a miracle. I ran into my doctor without an appointment, and a secretary, a Haredit, no less, with a big shekel. You don't have an appointment. I'm 85 years old. She wants to send me to one of their centers where a doctor sits. Thank God the other secretary heard my agony, and within a minute I was in with my doctor, Dr. Ephraim Rosen at Yiddat Tzadik. And antibiotics in the eyes and other drops, and Baruch Hashem, it did the job. All right, now we have a world to do today. Today is Sunday, the 22nd of January, 2023. And I say hello to those in front of me and to the bigger crowd on the screen and to all who will listen afterwards. Two quick corrections. I mentioned on, I think it was in the Monday class, I called Jacob Birnbaum, David Birnbaum, the founder of SSSJ. It's Jacob Birnbaum. And David was a slip of the tongue. His grandfather, who I mentioned, was Nathan Birnbaum. The other correction, and that's an interesting correction, which affects the Shia later today, I wouldn't call it a correction, information. So you, if you recall, I'm just mentioning it just now, but we'll come back to the Etzem Shaila later. If you recall, Reb Menashe Klein said that orthodontia can't create problems. In other words, when a lady wants to go for orthodontia, let her go, and it's not a serious operation. My nephew in Talmud, or my Talmud and nephew, Dr. Zev Rothkopf, who certainly knows about dental problems, says, unfortunately, many things can go wrong with orthodontics, short-term and long-term. Tooth loss and jaw pain can result. So I still want to, all my daughters went through orthodontia, as I recall, and believe me, it was expensive and not easy. In those days, I was as poor as a church mouse, pardon the analogy. And I just want to say to justify Reb Menashe Klein, he means percentage-wise, that if someone goes in for heart surgery, and you went in, Norm, believe me, you were praying with kavana that you rarely had before, certainly not in your BMT days. And there it's, you know, I don't have to tell you, it's much more serious. So percentage-wise, that's probably what Menashe Klein is referring to, that it's a miyutcha inanika. To use halachic terminology, a miyutcha inanika. Okay, now I want to tell you, with last week's Shia, I couldn't believe what happened afterwards. My daughter, my eldest daughter lives near us, and it's very important in life when you grow older, you'll understand. I found out Shabbat that someone my age, who's very famous and has done a great deal for Torah, Nachman Kahana, should live in Yuval. I found out he's living in a whole different area, left the old city. Yeah, Vic, remember? And I found out, why did he move there? To be near his daughter. So I understood right away, you know, when you're older, no one hits 80 and remains totally like a kid. As Rabbi Ovadia said, every day over 80 is a bracha min hashamayim. And believe me, ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu today. You don't know how much I accomplished already this morning. I was on the phone with a very important person for 45 minutes. She's in Muncie and I'm here, and It deals with Jewish Action, the editor. So I have an article coming out, and I couldn't believe the gap between what we understand and what they understand 7,000 miles away. But leave that for another time. So my daughter on Sunday gives me all the weekend papers, and among them, Makor Rishon. And I go through it. It's not that I read every word, but I see the headlines, I see and certain articles catch my attention. I couldn't believe it. Two of the topics we spoke about last week, tremendous articles on that very topic. If you recall, we're now getting involved, if you're allowed to help a woman become pregnant, if she has difficulties, operations. And we were talking about basically where it's normative, but not within the range that the semen can reach the egg. In other words, the uterus is formed. And today we solved the problem with AIH. Shari Tzedek was ahead of the world in coming up with this solution and solved problems that Rav Kook dealt with, and Rav Moshe dealt with, and others dealt with. And here we have a very beautiful solution. But can you operate so a woman should become pregnant? We saw that for a woman not to have children, and this is our big battle today with the woke world, the modern world, what I call the retrogressive world, the idol worship, man worships himself. 100,000 people demonstrated last night in Tel Aviv. Basically, they're idol worshippers. They worship themselves. There's no God, there's no law, there's no ethics, there's no moral. Man decides, and adkan, that's it. And it's a serious problem. But Bezrat Hashem, if we've reached the point that the state is shaking, that the whole public thoroughfare will change, Bezrat Hashem will get a partial change now, and the more Jews that we can influence and inspire and bring back to their roots, to what the Jews are about in Revelation and God and Torah, it'll be a lot better. So this question of healing, so we got involved with the question. We see that I quoted the sources, and I quoted the Shulchan Aruch, and can you heal a Gentile woman? And there's a whole machloikis, and it says the Ramban did heal, and Rabbeinu Yonah told them off, you brought another Amalek into the world. But we got involved in the discussion, are you allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos to help Gentiles? And I made the point, remember in class, that we do it, but we do it because of Eva, Mishem Eva. And this is the Noda B'Yehuda, and in modern times, particularly today with social media, that if, God forbid, you don't help a non-Jew, it'll be all over the world within minutes. So we raised the issue. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's not just Mishum Eva, but we have to help a non-Jew because it's a human being created in the image of God. And on that level, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. And this is the Miri, that the famous Miri. I told you a doctorate was done at Hebrew U by Halbertal, a very nice doctorate. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Dr. President Ari Berman, all my students have many titles today. Mark, you follow? But I think Ari Berman wrote a doctorate on a similar topic. I haven't seen it. I've encouraged him to publish. And this is what we discussed in class. And I told you the story of, again, it's hard for me to use titles for my classmates, but the great Jerry Blitzstein, that Rabban, the Babe, said about Jerry that he was the greatest Talmud his father ever had. And Jerry, it said, Yaakov Blitzstein, Professor Yaakov Rabbi Doctor, Zichron Ul Tzeche Tzadik Levracha, Mamash Tzadik. His grandfather was the Rav Tamashev of Brooklyn, the Mabit, Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. So he asked the Rav, this is what I'm told by ear witnesses, Rebbe, are you satisfied with Mishum Eva? And the Rav said, no. And they started to discuss it, and then they had a Daven Mincha, and they never got back to the topic again. Believe it or not, in Makor Rishon, in this section, is called Shabbat. It has, this section has intellectual articles. And this whole article on page 6, Rachamim v'chesed v'shalom b'olam. It's devoted to this very topic. And they reached the conclusion, just what I said in class, it all goes back to the Meir Eidi. There's some interpretations here of Chazal. They're more or less forced. The Meir is the Meir Eidi. And Baruch Shekivanti L'dat G'dayim. That's one thing. Then we had another thing in class last week, that if you're going to worry about doing an operation on a woman, that there's a sakana, and no woman will want to give birth. All of birth is a sakana. Be'etzav taldi banim. And I told you, now medicine is more advanced. I've seen, you know, my own family and my latest great-grandchild. Kol hakavod to the doctors, medicine, and to Israel, the effort they put in to bring children into the world, kol hakavod. So, but I said something else. And I told you, when I grew up in Solanta Yeshiva, I had classmates whose mothers were not their mothers, they were their aunts. And that was it was a minig in Europe. I don't know what the svadim, probably the same, that if a woman died in childbirth, if there was a younger sister unmarried, she married the husband after Shleishim to raise the children. It's a fabulous concept, because a stepmother can be a very big problem. One of the worst experiences I ever had in teaching, and I have to be honest, one of the reasons I left all my collegiate teaching, I mean, first of all, Baruch Hashem, my kids are self-sufficient, so the amount of money my wife and I spend is very little. You know, what do we need? The apartment I own, food, Baruch Hashem in Israel, if you know where to shop, it's a lot cheaper than America today, with all due respect to the OU in Atlanta and the Norm Schloss. So Norm, the aggravation, I was teaching collegiate kids, the amount of divorce was unbelievable. And one time, and I don't want to mention too many details, although it's ancient history today, one time we have a meeting before the school year begins, and the dean says, I never tell you in advance about the students coming in, because I want you to form your own opinion. But this case is so unique that I want you to know in advance. And what do we find out? The religious couple got divorced, they remarried, and neither couple wanted the three daughters from the original marriage. Neither couple. In other words, where the woman remarried a new man, I don't want to spend money on strangers. They're your kids, let your husband, your first husband, worry. The husband remarried a woman and said, I want no part of it. You know, it's general, the story is. That was your first wife, forget about it. If you mention her name, I'll shoot you. And I've seen that in life. I mean, I want to tell you, there's a certain, sometimes I can't show my face to certain people because I remind them of their first spouses. They knew we were very close. Oh, they see, they get upset. It's not the way to be. Life has to move on and you have to be a mensch. My mother remarried and had a beautiful second marriage, something like 18 years, and was mamish the Gemara in Saita, daf peit amir aleph, lefi ma'asecha, lefi ma'asav, lefi ma'asecha. I remember when Rav Pam's brother remarried, I was Masada Kedushin, and Rav Pam's brother, my dear neighbor Charlie, had me talk to his children. They were upset that he's getting remarried. I said, this is the greatest compliment to your mother, Zichrona Livracha. It shows he had a very happy marriage, and he doesn't want to live without a spouse. He doesn't feel complete without a spouse to compliment him. It's the greatest compliment to your mother. Baruch Hashem, I was successful. So in that case, you know what happened with the three girls? They family, the father and mother, rented an apartment for them in Flatbush, and we were getting the youngest daughter. Could you imagine? She had just turned 18, and we were getting a girl growing up in a home run by her elder sister in Flatbush, parents, two families, no room for their three daughters. So you see, the whole concept of parenthood and all that goes with it, at times the problems can be overwhelming. Be'etziv tel di banim. And as I've said many times, when a Talmud tells me, Rebbe, I just had my first child, I say, let me quote my wife to you. It's a life sentence. That child didn't ask to be brought into the world. You brought the child into the world. You have responsibility. And Baruch Hashem, ani modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, my wife raised good children. I get no credit. I was busy trying to find a place in life. Give my wife. With the grandchildren, I get a little credit. With the great-grandchildren, a little bit more. But the children, it's all my life. And there's a payback later. Now, there's another part, and let me be completer, and let me say a shtickle teira that I'm very proud of. Why is kibud av v'aim a mitzvah? So look at the Gemara in Kedushin, I believe it's Daf Chaf Tet. Tana Rabban and Eze kibud eim, machilo, mashkiyo, matzio, machniso, malbisho. What is this? Change the words of the Gemara. What does a parent do for a child? It's exactly the same thing. The bottle, the food, this first salad, diaper, clothe, dress, bathe. Why should there be a mitzvah kibud av v'aim? It's paying back a debt. A normal person pays back a debt. Aye. But here, I'll tell you a vort from the Rav. Many people have theories what motivates human beings. Machiavelli, political power. Marx, economics. Freud, sex, parent-child relationship. Each one thinks they're entirely right. This was at an RCA convention, sitting around, joking around with the Rav. And the Rav says, no. Each one is a third. And he brought Gemaras. Ein adomet, v'chatzita biyado, mishyesh lamana, rotzeh matayim, negid shmei, avad shmei, he brought, and he said, Freud, one third right. It's correct. I have students, I've seen students, psychologists, etc. Start talking. They hate their parents. Their parents did this wrong and that wrong. And I've been in sessions with psychologists. It's beyond words. Everyone, Freud is one third right. That's why you need a mitzvah. Because if you didn't have a mitzvah, the child, my parents gave me a bar mitzvah, but they took advantage of me and they did something. They sent me to the wrong school and they gave me the wrong kinnich and the college and this and that. Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, can they come up with stories about parents? Kibud av v'aim. Forget Freud. Do what's proper. Tana Rabbanan, Ezeh hu kibud av v'aim. Now, One of the problems, all right, my Yetzirah to show off a little homiletics is over. I'm out of the rab minute. I'll leave it to Jonathan to take charge. Rav Yonatan. Now, one of the other problems that we mentioned in class was people don't even realize pregnancy is not just a physical danger. It's not just the moment of childbirth. Postpartum depressions, right? That's the word they use. Wow. And that's the pasuk in the Torah. Be'etziv told the banim. And look into the Rishonim, you'll see the Mefarshim hit it on the head. And we mentioned that in class, that the whole, it's not just the pregnancy and the delivery and the cesarean. I just had a cesarean Brit. It couldn't be Shabbos, it was delayed, etc. And believe it or not, here in the magazine, this is a very yuppie, I tell you what, we're zeichet to what we're zeichet to in Israel, it's beyond words. I mean, this is a religious Zionist, even with fairness to Haredim. This is part of Makor Rishon, their Friday magazine. And this whole article is about 6 pages on depression after childbirth and stories that are frightening. Ad she'en yotel la'am. Very, very sad. And we have to help. We have to be aware. We have to help. We have to go to university and study psychology and classes and understand and be able to help. Okay. So, what's your problem, Yomo? You're shaking your head. What do you know about these problems, depression after childbirth? Okay. Your mother has influenced you? Let's hear. Can't say. Okay. Yomo just says no. Yomo is Yomo. All right. But Baruch Shekivanti. But with all this involved, one has to go ahead. And we have to do whatever we can to help a woman get pregnant, operations, mikan shenitna reshut l'rofa l'rapot. All the sources we quoted last week. Okay, now we come to something very fascinating. We quoted the Shulchan Aruch last week, and the Shulchan Aruch says a doctor needs reshut beitin. And I said, what does this mean? I gave you all the sources last week. I don't want to repeat myself because I have a lot to do. What does it mean reshut beitin? And we said this is licensing. We have to be organized. You need a license in the state of Israel. Even to teach on a high school level or an elementary level, you need a teacher's degree. A lawyer needs a legal degree. An accountant gets an accountancy degree. It has to be organized. Certainly a doctor, a dentist. You don't want to have someone who's not licensed. And by the way, this is one of the big problems. People coming in from all over the world, how do you recognize their degree? Russians were required to redo courses and to take tests here. I don't think they require Americans, because the level of medicine, if you show you have an American degree, it's accepted here, because Israeli medicine and American medicine to a certain degree blend into one. I know my grandchildren who are MDs, they've taken all types of exams. They also have the ability to have an American license. Why is that important? If they ever do research beyond their specialty or within their specialty, they can go to America and be certified immediately. So we're integrated. Okay. Now, the Reb Menashe Klein makes reference to Reb Chaim Isaac Wyszynski. Reb Chaim Isaac Wyszynski, I don't have to tell you, Gadomi Rabban Shmo, he's going to play a role in the Monday class as well. And he plays a very big role in a major piece that I have prepared for publication, but I'm not yet ready to publish, waiting to finish more material on rabbinic authority. And you'll understand when I finish Satna and I start Be'ezrat Hashem on Yeshivat in Eastern Europe, you'll understand my dedication, what I'm talking about. Now, and he quotes Reb Chaim Moshe in Shevet and Shiver Achiesa that you have to get rabbinic permission to do an operation. Quoting the Shulchan Aruch, basically, which I interpreted a license, you know. Okay. So Mark knows, I see the quote, and I'm shaking. He doesn't give a source. Shevet Shiver Achiesa. There are 3 volumes. So it's probably published in 1 volume. 3 volumes. And I have an Achiesa. How do I have an Achiesa? 51 years ago, one of the earliest Talmidim in BMT was in the second class. His name was Avraham Schlissel. Everyone called him the Duck. You know him? Duck Schlissel. Everyone calls him. Remember him, Elliot? The Duck. How he got the name, he quacks like it. And he was really a very close Talmud. Next year, he was a Madrich in BMT. And he gave me a Hanukkah gift, and I want to thank him. He gave me a Hanukkah gift, the Achaz, a beautiful inscription. I have the Achaz. I open up the Achaz. I was floored. Remember I showed it to you, and I brought it to Chris. I had a Xerox disc. In back of the Achaz, in my own handwriting, I went through all the tshuva and wrote down the most fascinating things of the tshuva. I don't know how many years ago, 50 years ago, I totally forgot. In 1 minute, I found, I wrote down a note on this point of the Achaz, permission of the rabbis, with the page. So what frightened me, how to have Yomo do a Google search, what words to look for, I had it right in front of me, due to a young Aaron Rakefet or Arnie Rothkopf, whatever my name was at the time, going through all the Tshuvot. Okay, here it is. It's at the end of Siman Tet Zayin, Volume 1, Shedot and Tshuvot Achiesa, Siman Tet Zayin, Subdivision 1. Subdivision Vav, a little Vav. It's, to be more exact, Amud Lamed Hey Amid Aleph. And here it is. Uvedavar Sheila, very fascinating question, which again, you won't believe, the very week that I see this question, in the newspapers, and this already was in Yisrael Hayom, I'll show you the article, an entire article that this is halacha lemaisa right at this moment in Israel. I'll explain everything. What was the question? And here's a very delicate question. Person is sick. It's a disease that will kill him. If you don't operate, he'll live another 6 months, what we call chayesha. If you do operate, it's a very dangerous operation. It's only successful, let's say, 20% of the time. But if you succeed, he lives on 5, 10, 20 years. The life-threatening illness is gone. It's compromised. It's abrogated. Nullified. Use whatever word you want. What a question. Chaye Shah versus Chaye Olam. Yonatan, your last one, what does that have to do with modern-day Israel? Well, Elliot, you're living here. What was the big discussion, the big achievement? Sal HaTrufat. You know what that means, Norm? The government, for instance, I had to get an antibiotic eye thing and another eye thing. All I pay is part of the cost, 10%, 15%, that's it. The Maccabi, today I'm Maccabi, it used to be Mukhedet, the health funds pay the rest. Who pays the health funds? The government. Which trufat do they cover? See? Sal ha-trufat. Now I'll give you a better example. A number of summers ago in America, my face was totally red. I told you the story. No one could help me. I have doctors, students of mine, world-class dermatologists. I get back to Israel. Well, yeah, it's a common thing, old men, blood vessels, blah, blah. Well, my student, 1983, 84, Michoala, She's the top, they say she's the top dermatologist in Jerusalem. Thank God. She appreciates the Rebbe. I always, before I go to a student, I always, did I treat you properly as a student? Because I've eaten in students' homes. I want to be sure they're not poisoning me. There was a Rebbe in Salant everyone hated. So Simchas Torah, we carried him on our shoulders, and a guy was walking behind him, sticking a pin in, and he was yelling, Gnukovit, put me down, name the Rebbe, Dudavs had Mekovit. All right, you got to be sure. So she prescribes a cream, and she explained to me that this was given in pills, and people were dying in senior citizens' residence, and they did a lot of research, the pills are no good, but as a cream, external, it solves this problem. But there's only one problem, it's not in the Sal HaTrufot. I had to go to Superfarm, order it, pay 200 shekels plus even more to 50 shekel, no government contribution, no health fund, had to be made to order for me, imported from France, 50 gram. A year ago, she tells me, good news, Rebbe, it was just added to the Sal HaTrufot. I now go over-the-counter, ointment in a tube, in a box, made in Belgium now. They import where it's cheapest. I pay 12 shekel, whatever, 10% of cost. See the difference? Okay. Now, this is what's come up. I think it's with cancer. We can help people, but it won't solve the illness. But it adds a month or two to their lives. I went through this with my neighbor, Barbara Dershowitz, Zichrona Levracha. I remember Sam, someone davens in my shul, who has a whole import business. He's the gabbai. He's very clear. It's Beryl Phillips' cousin. So he imports what's not in the Sal HaTrufot. So he helps Sam. It added months to her life. Or you can put the money into medicines, Trufot, types of medicines or types of forms of helping, whatever it's involved, that may cure altogether. But the problem is, to cure altogether, those type of medicines are very expensive. Helping one person to live on normal, if we help 10 with the same amount of money, will add 2 months to each one's life. What do you do with the Sal HaTrufot? Israel doesn't have unlimited resources, neither does America. If you know what's going on in America today with the bankruptcy, with the trillions, with reaching the limit of national debt, Israel is no different than America. We're wealthier, agreed. Our economy is better today. All that agreed. But yesh gvul, there's a limit. Mark, what do? Do you spend the money to save one life or 10 people and add to their lives? This is the shaila. Exactly the shaila that the Achiezer is dealing with David. Exactly the Shaila. What do you do? What's interesting is both Reb Chaim Moshe and the Israeli committee reached the same conclusion. Better to save one person and bring them back to normal life than 10 people with Chaye Shav. And this is the article. It's in Shishabat. What is Shishabat? It's Shishi Shabbat. This is the magazine published for Friday, but it's for you to read on Shabbat. It's the magazine of Yisrael Hayom, the 23rd of December, 2022. And this is exactly the Hadilemma Shel HaChayim. I couldn't believe it. Exactly, let me see if I can show it. Hadilemma Shel HaChayim, exactly what Reb Chaim Moshe had to deal with. השאלה המונחת בפני ועדת סל התרופות המתכנסת בימים אלה קשה ביותר. האם לממן תרופות הניתנות לחולי סרטן בשלב מוקדם ומביאות להחלמה מלאה, או לתקציב תרופות המוסיפות כמה חודשי חיים לחולי סרטן סופיים? Fascinating. And both Rav Chaim Moiser and this article reach exactly the same conclusion. Ah, but at the end of the article, and you can go into it, at the end of, I shouldn't say the article, the end of the tshuva, it's a terrible dilemma, but you'll have to see, he discusses it. At the end of the tshuva, he says, שצריך רשות ביתן בכל פעם, ובוודאי שראוי להתבונן בזה ולסמוך על דת הרופאים היותר מומחים. And what he's speaking about here, you need a balance between Rishut Beitin, the Rabbanim, and to look for the doctors who are the greatest experts. And he says to the Inkara, Ulefi Divrei Malat Kvot Haratom Shegedoli Arofim Bekinsberg Ichriukein Buli Chalukei Deyot Hahechrak Lismoch Aleihem. But he throws in the concept, you need rabbinic authority. They have to approve. And here, Reb Nasha Klein, true to form, quotes, let me see, true to form, quotes Reb Chaim Eiser, and he says, Tzrikim lishol da Torah ubeitin ketzad lahasot. And he says, yes, it's true that nowadays people aren't so careful about this. They don't go to rabbis. But lifnim b'Yisrael, Kachayanahug, Bifrat Betzibur Hachasidi, Shemeolam Lohiskimu Lasot Nituach, Belilishol Tzadikei Hadar O Rabam, Vahoku called them Nituach Afilu Nituach Kau, Vishalu Eitzat Hatzadik. וגם ביקשו שיתפלו עליהם, ויסכימו או לא יסכימו, והוא הדבר הנאמר לאל, שאין ביד האדם להחליט בעצמו, וגם יקיימו דברי חז"ל, ילך אצל חכם ויתפלל עליו. Hold on, one second. Here you have a tremendous difference between Litvakim and Hasidim. Elliot, could you picture someone calling me with a medical problem? I'd say, call my brother, here's his phone number. I told you when my mother was in the final stages of life, so in Herzog, they called him Herzog, she was transferred from Shari Tzedek, we left orders, any halachic shayla, call me. Any medical question, call my brother. Who are we? What are we? Can we get? All right. Talmud listening, Dr. Gvirtz, Bill Gvirtz wrote to me that the Rav became an expert on cancer treatment when his wife suffered with cancer. And he told the story, Gvirtz told the story where a doctor asked him once, was in the hospital, and the Rav, and asked him, who's that man? And he mentioned Soloveitchik, or he was told the story, and the doctor, oh, that's Rabbi Soloveitchik. We called him in once when we had to decide a cancer situation, what to do. We knew he's an authority. He's researched, he knows, all right, it could be. The Rav had a Ganesha mind, I'm sure if he had put his mind to it, he could come up. But generally speaking, we're going to consult Rabbanim, Hasidim, Ribbono Shel Olam. They will not make a move without the Rebbe's acquiescence. And if the Rebbe says no, they won't do the operation. And Rav Menashe Klein, who already was influenced by America, you know, what do doctors know here? You know, Rav Menashe Klein was half an American already. His English was perfect. And he said, all right, if you consult the Rav, you'll ask him to daven for you. And this is also very important. So there's something to be said for the Hasidic practice. Yes, Norm. I covered it. Okay. Baruch Shekivanti L'das G'dayim. Now, this is very fascinating. And now you come to Lubavitch. And this is hard, you know. A Litvak, the Rav, I don't know. When people would bother him and come to him, Rabbi Soloveitchik, you know, you must know. And they said, so he once told us, they bother me and they say, Trachni Chab Ruach HaKadosh. They think, can I say, Chab Nish Ruach HaKadosh? Understand? Ruach HaKadosh, I can tell you, this is a fact about the Rav's life. If he had his way, he wouldn't be alive. He would have been killed by Hitler. You got to remember, when he's ready to marry Tanya and he comes back to Vilna, at that moment, the Vilna Beit Din opened. His uncle had just died, 29, 30. This is 31. And I heard the Rav say with my own ears, I had one dream, one wish. He didn't say, by the way, where. Reb Heschel quotes this, my chaver. I am guessing I'm 99.99% sure my guess is correct. He meant Vilna. Had returned to Vilna. The Reb Menachem Karakovsky had just died. He was the Rav, member of Reb Chaim Moshe's Beit Din. He was the Magid Meshurim of Vilna. And that was perfect for the Rav. And he desperately wanted that. He could have stayed in Vilna with Tanya, with his in-laws, family. Different world. And he said, the efficacy of prayer, had God accepted my prayers, I wouldn't be alive today. Now, the reason he didn't get it, I'm guessing, but it's an intelligent guess. Reb Chaim Moshe was opposed. They didn't trust the Rav. They had that doctorate from Berlin. He went to university. Saved his life in retrospect. Then his father went to America, finally got there. His father had a lot of problems. You know, I write about it in the Rav, an ingrown toenail operation. The American consul in Warsaw was an anti-Semite. You had an operation, you can only come when you're healed. He had to come back 6 months later, bring medical records, a year later, till he got... Then his father already was in America. Chicago invited him, and then Chicago made the greatest mistake in the history of the city of Chicago. Mayor Daley still suffers from it until today. They didn't have money to pay the Rav, and he wound up in Boston. All right. Let me write about that now with Dr. Belton, but that's a different story. Hasidim, the Rav had nishkat Ruach HaKadosh, the Lubavitch Rebbe, did he have Ruach HaKadosh? Rabbi Steinsaltz, remember my lectures on the Lubavitch? You have three biographies of the Lubavitch. The only one who writes he had Ruach HaKadosh was Rav Adin Steinsaltz. And Rav Adin Steinsaltz walked with his 2 feet on the ground. I have a grandson now in Makor Chaim, in his elementary school. You know what a great-grandson. You know what my grandson sent me? A video last week that had a concert of the boys and girls in the elementary classes. My grandson plays a violin. And you should see these little kids with a violin and self-expression. This is Rav Hartenstein's. I told you the story of the wedding. I can't even repeat it. I'll cry like a baby. Just when I think of it, the greatness of what we've accomplished in Israel. Remember the girl from her father was an ambassador to Brazil and Argentina, a German who wound up in South America, an old buck that didn't know another from a bet who wants to get married. And then the Sephardic lady related to the Baba Sali, a beauty. The Yetzirah or Yetzirah Tov got the best of him and he married and he has this daughter. And she goes to B'nai Akiva, the mother was from. And a boy, his mother came from Russia. And the father became a Lubavitcher and way out, Haredi. She couldn't handle it. They got divorced. He remarried, had a whole family, 6, 7 children. And she worked, and the number 19 bus blown up a block from my house. There were like 7 people on that bus that I knew. This kid's mother was killed. And the court gave the boy and a girl, there were 2 children, who the father wouldn't have because his new wife said, I have enough children. And gave it to an aunt, Russian, knew little of Yiddishkeit. And my daughter was appointed the guardian. And this boy became such a Ben Torah. Fabulous kid. Fabulous. Learned in Hakotel and Machon Lev. And they married. And I'm going to the wedding. And I was told I either had the first 2 brachot or I read the ketuvah, whatever it was. Rav Steinzel says, be Mesada Kedushin. And my wife says, put on a white shirt, look like a mensch. Not like the slob you look like. So, you got to listen to your wife, Shema B'kol Sarah. And I put on a white shirt, I come to the wedding, there's Rav Steinzel in a blue shirt. Never was in awe. Blue, he always wore blue. That was... He walked with his feet on the ground. And he, the Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh. Living Jewish. Published by Chabad in English. December 30th, 2022. Lead article, full page and continuation. A Jew in B'nai Brak, Rav Yisrael Zussman, was compelled by the circumstances to leave yeshiva and go into business after his wedding. For the Litvaks in Israel, if you leave yeshiva, go into business, it's a tragedy. All right, people have to do business. People go to university, become a doctor, a dentist, do it. It's a mitzvah yeshiva haaretz. The most important thing, a good Rebbe. Without good Rebbeim, we have no future. Good Rebbeim, this is our future. Okay. One day, Rabbi Yisrael was traveling to New York on a business trip. Before he left, he received a sudden frantic phone call from a relative. She told him she heard that he was traveling to New York. She had an important request to make of him. And she tells him the story. She's just been diagnosed with a malignant tumor. The doctors ordered immediate treatment of chemotherapy. However, she was pregnant. They don't want to start chemotherapy. When a woman is pregnant, the doctors told her it was crucial for her to abort. They told her that if she didn't terminate her pregnancy, then either the baby would be severely damaged or it would be an orphan. Her own doctor empathized with her about the difficulty of the decision, but he told her, quote, if you were my daughter, I would unhesitantly tell you to abort. She pleaded with him, you go to New York, please go to Lubavitch. I'm told that Sunday morning, the Rebbe gives out dollars, pause and ask him what I should do. Then he writes, he was busy, but he felt all right, so while he was quixotic, you know, Lubavitch, what is he, doctor? This was the last Sunday the Rebbe gave out dollars. The next day he had the fatal heart attack. He waited online, and the Gabayim are pushing, it's supposed to end already, it's 7 o'clock, he's been receiving a call from 1 o'clock on. He's 90 years of age, I'm 85, I couldn't stand it ever. Well, finally, he gets to the Rebbe, the Gabayim are pushing him from behind. Make it quick. The Rebbe, he tells the Rebbe about the dilemma. Quote, the Rebbe asked me for her name. And the name of her mother, which I provided. Suddenly the Rebbe closed his eyes for a moment right in front of me and then opened them. I had the sense that he took a quick trip to higher realms and then came back down to us. The Rebbe then turned to me and said, it's not the disease that you said, it's something else. The doctors should be told to look for something else. Rabbi Yisrael Zussman stood there in shock, not knowing how to react, but the Rebbe continued, what she has is not that disease, so there is no place for her other question about terminating the pregnancy. She will give birth, and it will be a very special child. Completely overwhelmed, Rabbi Yisrael found himself outside, immediately ran to a telephone to convey the exact words of the Rebbe's message to his relative. New tests were taken, and they showed no trace of cancer. She completed the pregnancy and gave birth to a healthy child. Her professor, her doctor, was overwhelmed. She asked to meet Reb Yisrael when he returns to Israel. He visited the professor and personally shared with her the exact details of what transpired. Visibly moved, she banged on the table with her hand and explained emotionally, quote, indeed, there is a God. End quote. And these stories about the Rebbe, you can multiply 1,000 times over. They've been published, they've been spoken about. Don't tell these stories to a litvak. He is compromised, to put it mildly, excuse me. But there's no question that a chassid will not proceed without getting the blessing from the Beitin, meaning in our language, the Rebbe. And this goes back to Reb Chaim Moizer, where you see a gadol shebegadolim of the literature world with exactly the same approach. So halacha l'maisa, this part of the tshuva, again, it's very emotional, because he is a man a day before a fatal stroke, 90 years of age, basically. Gabayim hovering over him, Reb Leibel Groner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, my good friend. And you can understand, and take a look, closes his eyes. How do you explain it? How do you explain it? All right, a chassid has no problem explaining it. And it shows you that we Litvakin, Could be we have to find the synthesis between our world and the Hasidic world. All right. I've tried my best. I sent 4 letters to America for Wahi to open a Hasidic division with all their fancy divisions in the morning, and I outlined the whole program. I haven't even gotten one answer, one comment from one of the people I sent, and some of them are my own students. They're very famous people today. Big shots. Anashim Gedolim, Anshei Shem. Didn't get one answer. Okay. All right, let's come back here now. So, Halacha L'maisa, with the question of women, absolutely helped them 1,000%. Getting pregnant, having children, is chas v'chalila for a woman to be an akara. Sefer Bereshit, that may be the basic theme of Sefer Bereshit. Sarah Imenu, Rivka, Rachel, maybe the basic thing. Rosh Hashanah, Chana, Tfilat Chana, wow. Penina, the jealousy. Elkanah, who was a good husband and loved her. It's not enough. Not enough. Chava v'chi ein kol chai, with all that that implies. Okay, but then there was another question here. Jack, I want to tell you, your questions I'll deal with tomorrow. It fits into the Monday class. I got your message. I got your questions. Okay, back here. Now, what about orthodontia? What about this whole question? L'sharein l'rofel liyapot et beno kigon liyasher shinav ukiyotzebo in yanim shel yofi. All right. And this is the whole question. Simlat isha. Who has to look beautiful? A lady, a woman. Ein isha lili yofi yaretz. I'm a chazal. A man. And orthodontia is expensive. And this is the question. Okay. Let me quote a source to you. 016-D1. Here we are. How do we know with a girl we have to spend money, make her more beautiful? Masechet Shabbat, Tafpei. Ahmed Bet. Fascinating story. Rav Bibi Habile Barta, Rabbi Bibi, had a daughter. And the Gemara tells us, Tivla, Eva, he rubbed a certain oil on her, her feet, her hands, her face. And this oil, this lime, Schaffenstein translates it, caused her skin to become radiant. Men ran after her. And one man paid for the privilege of marrying her. Shakalba arba me'otzuzay. 400 zuz. See, it's just the opposite. Today in the yeshiva world, they have a big problem, you know, with Lakewood. I don't want to go into details. If your parents don't have money and you're a girl, you're stuck. You can't get a good shidduch. Talmidei Chachamim, I mean, one girl expressed it, too bad my father listened to his Rebbe and became a big Talmud Chacham who is penniless. And she wants a big Talmud Chacham. She can't accomplish it. But in days of yore, look at the Chumash. Look what we're talking about, Rivka V'Leah. Men had to pay a dowry to the woman, not vice versa. And here Rav Bibi became a millionaire overnight. 400 zuz. Yomo, can you figure out on the computer what 400 zuz of 1800 years ago or 1900 years ago would be worth today in dollars or shkalim? Okay, ask him. Report back.
A sheep was two zuz.
Excuse me?
A sheep was two zuz.
The Gemara is beautiful. Havi Nachri B'Shvivutai. A Gentile man lived in their area. And he took his daughter, he was anxious to get this type of money, and smeared the lime all over her at once. And she died. The depilatory was too sharp. And he went around announcing, Oma Kota Rav Bibi Livrei Lebate, Rav Bibi killed my daughter. He said, I didn't kill your daughter. You just did it incorrectly. You don't do it all at once. Little by little, limb by limb. Rav Nachman heard of the incident, heard of the story. He said, Rav Bibi drinks beer in his household. Therefore, Baye Binatre Tiplak, his daughter's requiring smearing with lime. Ananda lo shetite shikra, but we who don't drink beer, our daughters do not require smearing with lime. What does it mean? I quote to you from the notes in Schottenstein, quoting Rashi, the drinking of beer causes body hair to darken and increase in quantity. All right, what is this all about? This cosmeticians make a living. I know a lady, a cosmetician, a tzaddeket. Big Yichus, one of the rabbanim I write about in Revel, was her grandfather. And this girl, her father was a professor, had a sabbatical in Israel. She was in seventh grade. How old was she? 10, 11 years old. At the end of the year, she refused to leave Israel. She stood on the street and cried. And her parents swore to her, when she graduates high school, she can settle in Israel. And Kach Havin, she married a student of mine many years ago, very successful, many grandchildren. She's a cosmetician. So what do we see from the Gemara? A lady has to be beautiful. Do we give a darn how many hairs are on our legs, on our chest? No, I ask you. Did anyone, I don't know, but the modern world, there can be morons running to male cosmeticians. They want to get rid of all the hair. They look like an ape. I don't want to look like an ape. I'm God. I'm the idol. I determine everything. Got to shave my leg. What, boy, we can have morons in this world. It's unbelievable. Olam hafochan yoreh. The Gemara in Baba Batra. Here it is, right before your eyes. But what do we see from this Gemara? Rav Bibi was no woke personality. He was no retrogressive. And yet he went out of the way to see that his daughter looked nice. And other Chachamim were troubled. Why don't they get involved in buying the lime and the territory? All right, they explained. Rav Bibi drank too much beer. Drink beer? Evidently in his household. Yes, Yomo.
They were poor. in their BB's household. That's why they drank beer instead of wine.
All right, you hear it.
That's what their Nachman's saying. Nachman's saying barrels of wine downstairs in his barrel.
Okay, he almost says that it's a result of being so poor they drank beer instead of wine. Wine went sour, became beer, etc.
No, I didn't say that.
I would imagine that's why beer is cheaper. I don't know. I know here in Israel, beer is more expensive than wine. Wine, you can get a nice bottle for 12, 13 shekel. Big bottle, beer, what is it? I don't know, I don't drink beer, so I can't. I have to ask my grandchildren. They're experts on beer. But halacha lemaisa, what do you see from the Gemara? Absolutely. Women have to be beautiful. You have to spend money. You have to invest in their beauty. You have to go to a cosmetician. The guy tried to emulate him. The guy made a mistake. He did it too quick. You have to know how to do it. You have to know how to use it depilatory. It's like a medicine that can be harmful. All this, Rav Bibi knew how to do. From this Gemara, you see absolutely that it is obligatory to see that our daughters look nice. However, what about males? What about children? Children, simlat isha, and this whole question, where do we draw the line? What can you do? What can't you do? And we spoke about this. We quoted a Tosfot, this was 2 weeks ago, that what is a man allowed to do? Well, if he would walk around and feel embarrassed, mishum busha, Taisus mshabes daf nun amid bet, divrei hamatkil bishvil, we quoted the Tosfot a few weeks ago, if he would feel embarrassed, then he has to take the steps, and even if it may be something women do to enhance their looks, he would be allowed. But where do you draw the line? Where do you feel embarrassed? Buck teeth? Teeth that aren't straight? Teeth that have a space between them? Teeth that some go one way, some go the other way? Do you feel embarrassed? Where do you draw the line? And here comes the cliche. He's evidently serious. He's evidently serious. A man could very well be, it's better to look bad, to be ugly, than to look handsome and beautiful. An open Gemara. Tainit Dav Zayin Amid Aleph. You all know this Gemara, and you'll see the way he applies it. But the Amrle Barte the Kesal of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, the daughter of the Roman Empire, said to Rav Yehoshua, who was friendly with Caesar, and she said to him, "I chachma mufureret, bakli mechu'ah." How can it be that someone so brilliant, so smart, that father respects your knowledge, and look how ugly you are? And this takes me back to that comment. Remember I told you in Bnei Akiva, that girl on Washington Avenue, they had a cleaning store. They washed clothes and dry cleaned, whatever. There was a primitive at that time. 1940s, this had to be, maybe the early 50s. And she said to me, "You could be so good looking if your nose was straight." And I should have answered her, You know what I would answer today? I told you that. That was Abdenos of Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. But I should say, after this Gemara, you'll see. Thank God I look ugly. It makes me a bigger Talmud Chacham. But the Gemara continues. David, she told him off, so good looking, in such an ugly face. Ugly, kli mechuah, omalei. And he said to her, what does your father do? Doesn't your father put beautiful wine into earthenware vessels which are ugly? She said, what else should we put them into? Everyone uses earthenware vessels. He said, you are nobility, should put your wine in vessels of gold and silver. She went and told her father about the suggestion. He put the wine in vessels of gold and silver, and it became sour. Wow. When his servants came and told him that the wine had spoiled, he said to his daughter, who told you to do this? She said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. His servants called Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, and Caesar asked him, why did you tell my daughter this? And Rabbi Yeshua answered him, she spoke to me as she spoke to me. I replied to her, and I wanted her to understand that good, beautiful wine can only be contained in an ugly vessel, just as knowledge and Torah is better preserved in me as much as I am ugly. But Caesar's daughter didn't give up. But we see there are beautiful people who are learned. Thus we see that beauty does not preclude scholarship. And Rabbi Yeshua answered, I'll quote the Gemara, Havi Sane Tvei, Havi Gemira. If these handsome scholars would be detestable in appearance, Tvei Havi Gemira, they would be even more learned. Wow. What does that mean? More learned. Detestable in appearance. Look into Rashi. Tvei havei gemira she'i evsha lena'er lahashpil daito v'bali day shechacha. What does Rashi mean? I think this is the meaning. When you're very good looking, handsome, and you have everything, ultimately you become a bit haughty. A haughty person cannot humble himself. Part of being a Talmud Chacham, part of being a great Jew, part of being a great Rav, is the ability to humble yourself. And perhaps that's the secret of this very classroom. Many, remember I've said this more than once, Elliot. Many people teach, I have truth, everyone else is wrong. I grew up with the Rav, and I'm happy to say, he inculcated within me a very simple feeling. I have an opinion. I have a point of view. There are other points of view out there. And Vic, 3 weeks ago, were you here on the day that we achieved the ultimate? A Sapma Chassid here in full regalia, a Gera Chassid in full regalia, a Lakewood graduate, and all three had one thing in common. Their Rebbe was Rabbi Aaron Rakefet. That's the ultimate achievement. Remember what I told you? If I can do it, Mashiach can do it. 100 times better, 1,000,000 times better. If everyone says Mashiach comes, it'll be a farce. Everyone will look at him and say, what's his kippah? They won't like the kippah. They'll dismiss him. And here we had three different kippot. And Baruch Hashem, they coalesced. And that's what the only way I can understand Rashi. But what do we see from here? And here, I have to tell you, it's very powerful. For a girl, do everything in your power. My wife always would say that. Accentuate your good parts. You'll hit home. For a boy, what do we have to tell him? Be ugly. Be like Rabbi Yoshua. Let people say, so much knowledge in such a difficult kli to look at, that's to your advantage. That's to your credit. And this is the Gemara in Tainit. And in Cain, Rabbi Menashe Klein says, Adarabba, Malyuta hi shaloliyot na'eh. It's good for a boy, a male, not to be good looking. And he ends off the tshuva, believe me, a lot of dentists, including my nephew, will be upset with the psak. Al kol panim lo ra'iti shum chiyuv l'chayei fa'av l'shalem l'rofeh li'apot et b'no. Wow. And he says, I don't see any chiyuv for the father. Norm, let me give you some good advice. You want to be a good father and avoid some of the Freudian problems? Treat your son like your daughter when it comes to orthodontia. Don't look for shortcuts. You can be humble another way. There are other ways to become humble. Believe me, when I was talking and learning with Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, I walked away humble as could be. He knew all of Shas. It was Munach Lafonov Bukufsa. You follow? Photographic memory. Photographic memory. All right. Photographic memory does not make a gadol per se. But if you know how to utilize it, wow. Okay. But believe me, I always thank the Ibn Islam, I always had daughters, didn't have sons. The reason I always explain why, because I, when you're a father, you know, I would have been pressing my sons, learn, don't waste time, daf levin, daf steigen, etc. By the time you're a grandfather, I was blessed with endless grandsons and endless great-grandsons, you have more seichel. And you understand, I have one great-grandson, I just told someone, the editor of Jewish Action, I told her the story with my grand. I mean, it had to do with BMT, I can't go into it now. But I met a simcha, an upsharing of his younger brother, Shmuel Hanavi, his keva. And the kid is sitting in a corner watching a soccer game. So I say to him, Ma yoter chashuv, l'mol Torah, ol istakel v'kadur regel? And he says, Saba, ta yodeh l'mol Torah zeh achi chashuv. Aval lefamim tzichim lanuch tzad. And I answered him with my superb modern Hebrew, im tshuva kazot kanita oti. But then we had a whole talk about baseball and DiMaggio and his soccer and Pelo, whatever the guy's name is, etc. But you see, when you're old, you have more seichel. A kid, relax, let him play the violin. What did the Meitzer to say? Halavai, I would have had a childhood. We would be the same to Doylem, a younger Geschwach. We would have been young, we would have understood youth. Jungkeit, it's so important. And halacha lemaisa, I don't agree with Rabbi Menashe Klein. I'll take the liberty of saying, in this case, I don't agree. But it's amazing how he comes up with the Gemara in Tainit, and he quotes it correctly, and person is not good looking. It's an adam gadol. He's humble. The more humble he is, the greater he can become in learning. Okay. Ad kan this tshuva. I want to go one step further before we conclude. Me'inyan li'inyan ba'oto inyan. This is a shaila that I've seen halacha l'maisa baruch ato Adonai melech olam she'kol yevet v'ro. Okay. This is a shaila halacha l'maisa. Mishnah halachat chelik tet zayin siman lamed vav. Let's see, the other one was chelik tet zayin siman kufyu. This is siman lamed vav. But it's a similar shaila. This shaila is from the year 2001. And here too, this is a shaila that you wouldn't have in two modern times. And I've seen this with my own eyes. Acharei dirishat shlomo hatov bi'ahava bidvar sheilato bebal tshuva ben chamishim shana. And here you have a typical case that someone reaches the age of 50. What has he done until now? Independent, free to do everything. You read literature of Balei Tshuva, ultimately they've ate any type of food, drank any type of drink, had liaisons with any type of woman. It's interesting, by the way, movies until after World War II, you will never see anything more than a kiss. Never beyond that. Take a look what you see in movies, 1950s on. Contemporary times, nudity is par for the course. And suddenly, as they describe it, I'm quoting words from Balei Tshuva, Rekanut, an emptiness. Why am I here? What is a human being? Why do I have these feelings? I'm not a monkey. I'm not a tiger. I'm not a cat. I'm not a lion. And they come back. And I don't have to tell you, in America we've spoken about the great organizations and CSY and Chabad and Lakewood today is involved, each colon. And it's an entire industry. You're being taught how to be makariv people. In Israel we also have some great success. Eish, the Vayirushalayim, or Sameach, Pilim deals with unique cases. And in my world, we have, and I'm proud to say, I know Dov Bigun, Rav Dov Bigun, from BMT. He's a Madrich, Tiulin. What he organized, Machon Mayor and the offshoot, Machon Tal. Am I right, Machon Tal? I'm not getting involved. Oh, Machon Ora. Machon Tal is next door. It's Machon Lev, is Machon Tal. Machon Mayor's Machon Ora. I always get confused. What he has organized is beyond description. Very successful. Hebrew programs, English programs, Russian programs, French programs, kol hakavod. And by the way, maybe one of the greatest miracles of our generation, you talk about the state of Israel, is number one, no question about it. I don't know whether Russian Jewry is number two or number three. It could very well be that the Baal Tshuva movement is number two. You're talking hundreds of thousands of Jews who have come back to Torah, Belayth, and Nefesh. And, you know, it's not just, again, I just told this to America this morning, that they don't realize, their eyes open. It's not just the individual you make for. You know, you take a Russian who came 50 years ago, he has 50 descendants today, Shomer Torah Mitzvah. All right, they're Russians who are not from, so they have a dog, they walk with a dog. What's going to be 50 years from now? There'll be 100 dogs in the world from that dog. From that Jew, there'll be very little. Children, no children. Married, not married. So here you have a Baal Tshuva, 50 years old. And he wakes up. And he comes back, belayed the nefesh. And he wants to marry. But here's the catch. As we've said many times, a woman has a clock ticking away in her body. And this affects halacha, the questions we get today. And it's a sad reality. You can't change a man into a woman and a woman into a man. The Chafetz Chaim ben the Netziv fathered children when they were over 70 years of age. And just think what I'm saying. Sari Menu had a miracle. Part of that miracle is she got back her youth, got back her periods, became a woman again. The ability to conceive, to nurse, etc. You're familiar with Chazal, you know what I'm talking about, Chumash Chazal. And he's 50 years old. He's white. His hair is white. His beard is white. I have Talmidim who at the age of 50 with totally white beards. All right, Jonathan is one of them. Totally white. It's interesting. Again, in China, the men don't turn white. Charlie Bedtime, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, when he did business in China, he said they gave him such cover, and he asked, what is this? Because I'm Jewish, because I'm Shomer Mitzvah? No, his hair is white. They thought he was like 110 years old. Charlie told me this. They don't turn white till they're 90, 100. Charlie was in his 50s doing business. They gave him covered malachim. No, he's now looking for a girl, a lady, who's able to conceive. He's looking for someone late 20s, early 30s, l'chala pachot before 35. And his shaila is very simple. Can he dye his hair? Can he dye his beard? Imutalo litzpoa saratlo shoshelo yechenira kol nireko kachsa kain. V'yechelo yotekal limtsa zivok. Kirotse bebanim kumuvan. And the heart of the Shaila. Mokam ha-shela im yeshka ha-gavna mishum lo yilbash. And this is a fascinating question. And it gets us involved ultimately with the silver era, with the satmaruv, with the mirror. Smashed in his house. Where do you draw the line? What can men do? Where do you differ from a woman? How far can you go? Mark, did you look into a mirror today? Open halacha. A man is not allowed to look into a mirror. And this is the dyeing your hair. What are you talking about? Go into pharmacies, super farm in Israel. Look around with hair, with women, with dyes, with peroxide, with what to do, with what to use. In America, Ribbono Shel Olam, when you go into Walmart, you can spend the whole day trying to figure out which dye to buy. Go online, the way people shop today, you can spend a month looking at all that's available all over the world. Allowed? Not allowed. I have a chaver. He never married. Kol zman he dyed his beard, I knew he still had hopes of marrying. Unfortunately today, Yonatan, he doesn't dye his beard anymore. He's my age. He's 2 months older than me. if that much. Sukkot, 1937. Yes, Norm?
Wouldn't this be a case of
a case of? Lifnei wants to lift my ear. You mean the...
He's trying to show that he's...
You suffer from the first word I learned when I came in Aliyah in 69. Mark, remember the word? Savlanut. And I coined the word Savlanitis. What you're talking about is on the odd that he's faking. It's in the chiver. Okay, I just gave you an introduction.
I don't want you.
You mean Gnevastat? Gnevastat, Ona'a. That's what we're talking about. Ona'a is Gnevastat. I want you to come next week, so I threw in the mirror. I want you to look in the mirror, not look in the mirror. How are you going to do it? Oh, man. Gentlemen, first of all, Ani Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't know how bad I felt on Friday. The eye infection and the antibiotics and my foot and my arm. A mensch bleibt der Mensch. That's a light. Rabbi Avadja hit the nail on the head. Every day over 80, you have to be Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu. One time it was 70. Today it's 80. We've made medical progress. The Rav already was in my like this when he was 70 already. But today we've made progress. What I accomplished already from a quarter to four this morning, I am Modeh LaKadosh Baruch Hu. America wanted to speak with me and about something but being published shortly. And until we can catch up with each other, I finally said, give me, if you're awake, 12 midnight, give me your phone number. Thank God this wonderful lady gave me her phone number and I called her. And you should know, I consider Jewish Action the finest magazine. They had a whole issue now on Kashrut, was second to none. And Mark was all excited. They quoted my scholarship on the Ritbaz. All right, Baruch Hashem. But Norm, the greatest, you have no idea how proud I am to be a Torah Jew. You have no idea what it was like growing up in the Bronx. 700,000 Jews. Chilul Shabbat. There was no Shmiret Shabbat. It was Beatles Shabbat, like Tel Aviv today, Lahavdil. Except in Tel Aviv, we have hope yet. Some good things are being done. Rosh Yehudi, but the Bronx, I wonder out of that 107,000, how many Jews you have walking the face of the earth today. Okay? There are Balei Tshuva. My best story with the Balei Tshuva is Stanley Shulson. When I started this, Zichrono Livracha, when I started teaching in Michlala, I meet Stanley Shulson at the Xerox machine. What is he Xeroxing? My articles in Jewish Action, Jewish Life that'll shortly be republished. So I say to Stanley, what are you doing with that? I didn't know him. You know, we introduced ourselves. He was new, I'm new. He was an expert in teaching English as a second language. He taught at Michalan. He taught in Bar Ilan. From the Shulson family, from Connecticut. His father was a state senator in Connecticut, a Shomer Shabbos. So he tells me he figures with these girls from their background, and many were Beis Yaakov girls and Lustig girls, what you've written about the Chaim Moser, about the Kavna Rav, etc., this is perfect reading material in English. So he became very friendly. So Stanley didn't have a real yeshiva background, and he started going into Aish to learn every morning. He taught high school in America, in Long Island. Taught Jews, bums, altvavs, trumpeniks. What did they have? Yiddishkeit, nothing. Went to temple, maybe. He comes into Aish. There are some of his former students from Long Island with beards and payers and learning. And they look at him. Hey, take a look who's here. Teach. You're also a Baal Tshuva. And he says, no, I was a Shomer Shabbos all of my life, but I couldn't display it. You know, he didn't wear anything. Well, this is our generation. It's unbelievable, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so what did we accomplish today? All right, we learned something, and Reb Chaim Moser, very powerful. And I thank Doug Schlissel for giving me the Achiezer. I didn't have to look for it here. I brought it in Xerox and found my index. And the whole question of boys and girls and better to be ugly than to be beautiful, maybe to a male that applies to a certain degree. It doesn't apply to females, and there Rabbi Menashe Klein is absolutely right. Do everything you can, and pregnancy, whatever we can to help a lady, to help a woman achieve distinction in life in accordance with God's creation, the proactive, positive feminism that gives us the Bat Torah, the Yeshet Chayil. We introduce next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, dyeing the beard, dyeing the hair, to look younger, to attract a younger lady who can still have children, the story of Balei Tshuva. Now, one second, I need all these corrections. Tomorrow morning, Be'ezrat Hashem, I wouldn't miss the shiur for all the rice in China and all the bullets and weapons that are being imported to the Ukraine. They haven't yet sent the tanks they need desperately, but everything else is on the way. I say Israel is caught in a quagmire, and Yomu says it doesn't interest me. Nothing to do with us. Don't say that they and Zayakep and leave us alone. I don't know if Yom was right or wrong, and he was born in Kiev and I was born in the Bronx. Tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we go further with a refutation of anyone who's not a religious Zionist. Eim habanim smecha. And afterwards, I'll hit upon Rabbi Elchanan Blumenthal, introduce you to people in a world that is real to me, but probably unknown to you. We're heading very rapidly to a glorious moment, the beginning, the history of the yeshivat in Eastern Europe. Are there any questions from the erudite audience in front of me? Okay, Yomo, until we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya, unmuted so anyone across the world can have their say. I see London is listening too, all right? Baruch Hashem.
Recording stopped.
Okay, are there... Yeah? Go ahead, any questions? Well, we can't hear you, David.
So I'm coming back on Wednesday, please.
Have a good trip back. And
thank you.
Our weather here has been very bad, if you know what I'm saying. The ground is crying, the farmers are crying, and we haven't used an umbrella in ages. V'dailech hakima b'remisa. Maybe when you come back and say the Talva Mata properly in Ol Rivka, it will add to Baruch Hashem Aschut. Yeah, are there any...
Listening you in Shul, yes, Hashem.
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Jack, you heard what I said, that I'll deal with your questions yesterday, but one question I want to deal with right now. Jack quoted me from many, many years ago saying that Shas... Not Shas, that the, I said something about Shas too, the same thing, and I was rebuked for being incorrect, and they're right, I didn't realize how great the chasm is between the Sfadim and Ashkenazim, I was more optimistic. But I said about the Messianists that they will disappear in due course. And Jack said, take a look, it's so many years later, and they have not disappeared. Jack, my answer to you is very simple. When is the last time you met a follower of Shabtai Tzvi? I rest my case. Give it a little time, 100 years, 200 years. The Mishigayim are still alive, I know that. But give it time, we'll get there. The Mishigayim who answer their phone call, you call and the guy picks up the phone. Yechi Adonai Moreinu Rabbeinu Melech Mashiach Lo Lamed. What do you want? And they sign off. My best story is I'm in 770 with Normie Gold. Zichrono Levracha. Breaks my heart that he's gone. Breaks my heart. I'm with Normie Gold. And this guy evidently had yard sight. And he was a Baal Tshuva, tall, Chabad. And he could barely pronounce Ivris properly. And he's davening Famam with Baruch until he got the oisik fetched, the vetter, it took half an hour mincha. When he finishes mincha, leinu and kaddish, yechi adonainu mareinu, one perfect Hebrew, one set. We walked out, boy, we went. I asked Naomi, will we yotzei davening with him? That's a different shayla. Okay, leave it at that. Are there any other comments? How are things in Flatbush, Mark?
Yeah, they, by the way, they said there's still some Shabbat around in Turkey.
Zomazan gezunt, let them enjoy Turkey and Turkey. But it doesn't affect us here in Israel. Zomazan gezunt. Okay. Simon, everything in order? With the earphones, you look like you're navigating a plane.
Baruch Hashem, the sound comes out blurry without the earphones.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. All right, until we meet, I want to thank everyone for honoring me with their presence. I walked in here an old man, and I go out a youngster. The only problem is, by nightfall, I'll be back to 85. Right now, I'm 25. All right, maybe the Abishta will help me figure out how to compromise between them, and by nightfall, be 55. But all right, B'ezrat Hashem, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for honoring me with your presence. And I want to thank Yomo. You have no idea. He puts in a lot of effort. And right from here, he goes and puts up the Shir Manwayu Torah. And within hours, I already have comments on the Shir from all over the world. So until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya. All right.